Why is it important for Christians to see their jobs as their personal mission field, the place God has put them? Well, we have a special guest with us, Tim Vickers, and we'll discuss this and more on this episode of Walking Worthy in the Workplace and Life. I'm Mary Lohman, and with me today is Tim. Tim, I'm so delighted you're with us here in our studio, all the way from London. Welcome. Yeah. Tim is director of International Fellowship of Evangelical Students, a wonderful organization headquartered in England. He has really given us a lot of help in organizing a new ministry for our Christian Working Woman ministry. So I wanted to have you here today and just ask you some questions about why you started this ministry to particularly young people coming out of college, university, going into their careers, and you saw this as a wonderful opportunity to train them to see their jobs as the place they would share the glory of God. Explain that to us.
Great. Thanks, Mary. Just to clarify, I'm not the director of the whole of IFES, just Graduate Impact,
which is
my little niche bit.
Okay.
But it's focusing, as you say, on young professionals, people who've left university, started out in working life. And the reason why I think it's important is because we proclaim on Sunday morning that Christ is Lord of all.
Yes.
And very often on Monday morning, we live as if Christ is non-existent.
Exactly.
And that means that we're potentially saying a lie on Sunday morning. And It's a lie either about who Jesus is or about who I am.
Yeah.
If Christ is Lord of all, that's got to mean everything.
Yes.
And that's got to mean who I am when I'm at work. So I think that's that's the sort of foundational block. Let's let our faith be relevant to every dimension of life, not because we want to dress our faith up in some way, but because our faith is directing who we are in every domain of life.
Exactly. Yeah, I find that so many of us Christians, we separate secular from sacred, and there is no separation for a Christian, is there? Everything's sacred.
Everything is either done for the glory of God or not.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it. It's a binary equation, to use a common phrase these days. It's either for God's glory or it isn't. And I think we need to think about that so carefully and work out in every situation, okay, is this being done in a way which brings glory to the name of Jesus Christ, or is it not? And if it's not, well, what are we doing with our lives? You know, are we just amassing a fortune? Are we just following an ambition? Are we just building a career? Are we just, you know, chasing after success and status? Because to be frank, those things are utterly meaningless.
Yes.
In the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Are we chasing after God's glory?
And that's really what got you started, because you started as a Christian in a secular job, and pretty soon you felt like, what am I doing, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And in the industry that I was involved in, I was negotiating contracts on commercial real estate. And, you know, it would be, you know, $20 million, $150 million, you know, large amounts of money. And in my industry, there was a normalized expectation that people would tell lies, either to inflate prices or to deflate prices, depending on who you were acting for. So we'd take the truth and we'd go into negotiations with a distorted position on truth. And I thought, this is just crazy. I'll tell you, we did a little survey one time with 15 young Christians in this profession, all going to great churches where the Bible was being taught. We asked all 15, is it ever right for Christians to tell lies? And 15 out of 15 said no. Then we asked, is it necessary to lie to succeed in business? And 12 out of 15 said yes.
My goodness. Do you think that's a common belief among Christians today?
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
I think you're right.
I'm sure it is. I think this is why Christ as Lord over all is so important, because when we go into work, we very quickly accept the normalized values in our workplace. You know, every workplace has a culture. Every profession has a culture. And you know, we're sitting there as a follower of Jesus Christ, but also as a person who wants to fit in and not stick out. And so we start to accept the norms and the values of the world around us. That's just one example.
Yes, I understand that totally, because I spent a lot of my early career trying to fit in. I didn't want to be different. I wanted to be part of the gang. I wanted to be successful. it was not good.
No.
But nobody was teaching me. And what you're doing now is you're trying to take these young Christians coming out of school. And how are you reaching them? And what are you doing for them?
So how I'm reaching them, I work for this organization. It's a wonderful global organization that focuses on helping students in university reach out to other students with the good news about Jesus and bring them to Christ. And I see all these wonderful people around the world, every country of the world, you know, having these conversations about Jesus, people coming to faith, and then they leave these beautiful student groups and hopefully they'll go into church and be supported by the church. But often the church struggles to help them make a connection between their working life and their identity in Christ.
Yeah.
And people get confused. I mean, I hate to say it, but it, you know, as the pressure of work builds up, so Jesus almost becomes an option in the lives of these young adults. And on Sunday morning, you know, you're lying in bed on Sunday morning, you've had an exhausting week, everything's stressful. You've got the option, do I get up and do I trek into town to go to church, or do I just get a bit more sleep? And then I remember that the Lord gives sleep to those he loves. So I roll over and suddenly I've forgotten about Jesus.
That's real. That's a real example. It happens a lot.
Yeah. It does.
So I know, because you have so graciously introduced us to your program, and we are incorporating it in the Christian Working Woman and trying to do a little bit of what you've been doing. And I know that your goal is to help these young people be absolutely firmly established in theology and the truth of Scripture about everything, work and everything else, and then help them apply it in an everyday life. How do you do that?
We're very committed to helping people grow in their understanding of who God is. And as we look at who God is, to understand his nature, and then to reflect on what Christ-like character might look like. So the fruits of the Spirit, but manifest in our lives.
Yes.
And use that as a foundation, a transferable foundation, which will go from university to one workplace, to the next workplace, to the next workplace. Christ-like character, bearing fruit, you know, which are the words that we speak, the actions that we carry out, the thoughts that we have, bearing fruit which are consistent and Christ-like, reflecting the importance of the gospel to our lives. So we like to help people dig deep into the Bible, but also to process and apply to their own circumstances and their own lives. I'll give you an example. When I first got the idea of this and thought about the importance of glorifying God in my workplace, I had to make two decisions. The first was I had to decide not to lie.
Because you were in an
industry. I was in an industry where lying
was the norm.
And I thought, okay, how do I do this? How do I still go into negotiations and not lie? And I thought, number one, I need to be better prepared than the opposition. So I can hit them with facts and truth. Number two, I need to know, you know, where I will not be pushed beyond by somebody. So what is my bottom line? Number three, I need to be acknowledging that I might lose a deal. And number four, if that's the case, I'm not the boss, I could get fired, so I've got to be praying about it. I should have been praying about it before. I'd never even thought of it. But it's only when you make something risky that then you think, I've got to get on my knees, because otherwise it's all about me and I'm going to really mess this up. So that was the first one. The second one was making a commitment never to walk into a meeting without viewing the people I was meeting as people, rather than just as colleagues or clients or competitors, and making sure that I ask questions about their lives and take interest in them and try to get the human element back into the business world.
That is so smart. I have a good friend who's very high up, and she often texts me or calls me and says, I'm going into a meeting, a very important one. Would you pray that I would show the love of Jesus?
Amen.
That's her whole purpose.
Yep.
And she's very successful, but that's what she looks to do every time.
Yeah,
and
so
that's what you were saying.
Yep.
See them as people made in the image of God who need Jesus if they don't know him already, but who need to see the love of Jesus in you.
Yep. Exactly right.
Right. That is so exciting. Tim, why do you think we have divided our Christian life into the secular and the sacred? What has caused us to do that? Because this happens not only in our careers, but in other areas of our life too. Church and reading the Bible and praying, that's sacred. But the other stuff I do, cleaning my house or whatever else, we've divided it, haven't we?
Instead of
we can do everything to the glory of God.
Yeah. Why has it happened? We have sinful hearts.
Good reason.
I mean, that's a good reason. and our, I don't know if I can say this, but our pastors also have sinful hearts.
Okay.
I mean, sometimes, I don't mean that in a nasty way. Of course, you know, mm-hmm. we're talking about the body of Christ.
Yes.
But we are all sinful human beings in the body of Christ.
Yes.
And sometimes what happens in our churches is they become a little bit introspective. And we imagine that church is when the Christians are gathered together.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, we are all members of the body of Christ all the time, no matter where we are.
Right.
And sometimes, instead of thinking about church being gathered together to express our identity in Christ, it would be great if we thought about church as being gathering together in order to equip us to go out.
Exactly.
I mean, I think about it in very stark terms. You know, the non-believers, you know, that we meet in life, mm-hmm. we don't generally meet in the pews of church.
Mm-hmm.
That's not where they go. They mm-hmm. walk there, they smell polish, and they walk out again. But we do meet them day after day when we go to work.
Yes.
And we meet them on a level playing field,
right?
Facing the same pressures, dealing with the same bosses, the same clients, the mm-hmm. same colleagues, and having the same headaches and the same joys. And that is a place where actually, you know, what does it mean to be distinctive as a Christian? And a lot of the time, we just don't know. So we actually run away from having an invested interest in that space because we don't know how to be distinctive, mm-hmm. how to give reason for the hope that we have.
Yes.
In a way which is not fake,
mm-hmm.
which is not superficial, and which is not IKEA Christianity.
I love that term. Explain it, IKEA Christianity.
Well, slot A goes into slot B and suddenly you have a disciple. You know, that's not what life is about. Life is about the reality and the weight of God's glory mm-hmm. invading our lives.
Mm.
You know, it's about gravity, not about superficiality.
I often say we need to live lives that generate questions. Live a question-generating life.
Yeah.
Because we read in the Bible, Peter said, to be ready to give an answer for the hope that's in you. Well, answers come after questions. So if I live in such a way that people just don't figure out why, and they say things like, you know, how can you do that? Or why did you do that? Or you always seem to be whatever. It opens a door.
So we have a model. I call it the living signpost model.
Mm-hmm.
It's taken from 1 Peter. And a signpost, to work effectively, needs three things. You've got to have the words which clearly point in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
That's 1 Peter 3:15. Always be ready to give a reason for the hope you have.
Mm-hmm.
But if you write the words on a piece of wood and leave it lying by the side of the street, no one ever sees it. So the signpost also needs a structure.
Yes.
And in 1 Peter 2:12, Peter says, live such good lives among non-believers that they see your good works and glorify God. And that's about how we live. But the third thing a signpost needs is a foundation. And so we find all the way through Peter's letter, the Christology, the things he says about Jesus.
Mm.
Chapter 1, verse 18, chapter 2, verses 24, 25, chapter 3, verse 18, the things he says about Jesus. Jesus chosen before creation for our redemption.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus dying on the cross for our restoration. And Jesus reconciling us to the Father. And so it's all this stuff. It's a holistic understanding of who we are in Christ, which we take with us into the workplace. And we prayerfully say, Lord, I don't know how to do this, but teach me.
And that's what you're doing with
Cross Current.
And we have adapted it here and we call it Equipped Influencers. Tim has been so gracious to allow us to use his incredible curriculum, which you've developed over several years, right? And it's so amazing that this is ministering in all these different countries. You've just come from Mexico, where it's really growing there.
Yeah.
So God is using you in great ways for this movement. I'm so glad we had a little time with you today. We stole a little of your time today to just share with our listeners what it means to really be serious about glorifying God everywhere.
Yeah. Mary, I wonder if I could just close with two little thoughts.
Please.
If it's okay. So I work for a student organization. Mm. And what I do is not obvious because I work with young professionals. The reason why I do that, and I actually asked the student organization to let me do it, is because in the transition from university into working life, a lot of young adults struggle to keep following Jesus. In Norway, they estimate that 80% of Christians fall away from faith before the age of 26.
Oh, my word.
In the United States, Barna Research did the same sort of survey. They came up with 59%.
Ah.
And this transition, in university, a lot of youngsters have a Christian group around them and they keep their heads above water. Then when they go to work for, you know, one of the big organizations, one of the big graduate employers, they feel isolated and it's really tough. And so I think, you know, what I'm really passionate about is making sure that we do everything we can, reaching back into the student ministry and helping people through into this next phase of adult life to keep following Jesus. That's one thing. And the second thing, you know, the world that we live in is increasingly turning its back on who Jesus is, on even the idea of the existence of God.
Yes.
And I want to know, where are the Christian voices of tomorrow?
Yes.
Who are the people who are going to speak profoundly and prophetically into the major societal issues from a Christian perspective? Because we look at the world and we're thinking, hang on a minute, where are all these ideas, these competing ideas coming from? And where on earth are they going to end up?
Yes.
And I want to know who is going to have the courage to stand up and say, no, God is real. No, this is what human identity looks like. This is what ethics looks like. Mm. This is what justice looks like. This is what human responsibility within creation looks like.
Mm.
And if those people don't come from today's generation of students and young professionals,
right,
where are they going to come from?
If we lose them.
If we lose them.
We have no voice.
It's dystopia.
Well, we need to pray about that. Mm. And we hope to do a little bit of our part to make this happen over here as well. Thank you so much for your time with us today, Tim. It's always a joy. It's been a great opportunity to discuss these issues with you. And we pray that it's been a blessing for you as well and encouragement as we all seek to walk worthy in the workplace and in life.